Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. This morning, we welcome Tim Hathaway to the program. He is Executive Director of Prevent Child Abuse New York, and a great pleasure to welcome Tim to our microphones. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much.
Very nice to have you on this program. Should note that April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. April 30th is Awareness Day in New York State. So give us a sense of where we are when it comes to, I guess I've been talking to a lot of not-for-profits about the great work they always do, but especially in this time. While I was waiting for your phone call to come in during the break, I got two press releases, one about sexual abuse going up, another about domestic abuse going up. I'm wondering about where child abuse fits into that, of what we're seeing over these last few weeks.
Sure. We're very concerned about this issue because abuse, child abuse, in many, many ways, often is about the sort of stress and pressure that families are put under. There are, of course, in this time, a whole host of pressurized issues for families, right? So it could be, loss of employment or just the stress of being in a house kind of crowded together with not a lot of places to go, not a lot of things to do. So those sort of economic pressures, those sort of kind of relationship pressures really do put families at increased risk, especially if some of those risk factors were already there for the family. So we are certainly concerned about this issue. And along with child abuse, we do, as you mentioned, we do have great concern about domestic abuse. As I think you probably know, child abuse and domestic abuse oftentimes go together. There's a lot of comorbidity we talk about, or co-occurrence between those two things. So all of those issues are really critical. I think in the case of sexual abuse in particular, that's a particular issue, in that what we can only imagine for a child who has been experiencing that. Many times children in our normal operating existence, they're able to go to school and maybe get some relief from that situation. But I think you can just imagine the sort of trauma and challenge, overwhelming challenge it would be to have to be constantly in the space where that perpetrator is existing. And what we know about child sexual abuse is that the vast majority of cases, those children are experiencing sexual abuse at the hands of someone in their family or someone that they know directly. So there's a lot of concern about where kids are at and what's happening for kids in this experience.
I know, Tim, you have pointed out something that is very important that perhaps we don't think about, but a lot of the red flags, the way that we find out that the abuse is taking place is through interacting with kids, and then whether that's with teachers or daycare providers or after school programs or doctors. And without those situations, schools are closed, daycare is closed, the after school programs are canceled, most doctor's offices are closed, that obviously those indicators are gone, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. That concern about kids not getting face-to-face with people that usually are kind of keeping an eye on them and kind of thinking about their welfare and what's happening for them. Absolutely. And so we're really encouraging people. Oftentimes we think about child abuse prevention as got to be this crazy complex thing, but really it's about relationship, right? So it's just what you're saying, those people who are in the lives of kids and care about kids. So even if you're not seeing kids maybe that you have connection with face to face, but you're seeing them online, or, you know, if you're a teacher, or if you're, you know, a physician or a counselor or a social worker or a child care provider or somebody like that, we really encourage people to take those opportunities to make sure that if they do get a chance to connect with kids in this environment, time of COVID, we want you to really think about, pay attention to, does this child seem like they're under a lot of stress right now? Does it seem like there's a lot of strain? Maybe are they withdrawing in a way that they usually wouldn't do? Are you hearing from them signs of other stress or concern that might be happening in the family? So we encourage people to keep an ear out, keep an eye out if you got kids on screen, but certainly think about how do we build relationship in this moment with kids and maintain that relationship.
So what kind of resources are available to help families and professionals really manage the stress that is coming along with this pandemic?
Yeah, so there are a host of excellent resources available, and just a couple that I would highlight. One is that our office recently put together a guide for parents and caregivers related to this issue, and you can find that guide at our website, preventchildabusenewyork.org. But that really is focused on helping families think about the positive things that they can do to support their family and themselves and their children. And so we really think about oftentimes that there are kind of some key ingredients, right, that help families really prosper and thrive, even in really challenging times like this. And so we think about parental resilience as an issue. That means taking care of yourselves. And so one of the things that we've talked a lot about is it's a real challenge. Parents are going through a lot of stress. They know their kids are going through a lot of stress, but parents got to figure out ways to take care of themselves so that they can continue to support kids. That guide also contains thoughts about maintaining social connections, thinking about how do we find the sort of help that we need, reaching out in the community to answer those needs that we have, and things like building social and emotional competence for our kids. So that's one great resource. There are a couple of others too. Our office has a parent helpline that's certainly available. People can 1-800-244-5373. So you're always welcome to call that helpline. There are a couple of other hotlines related to child abuse reporting, and I just want to throw those numbers out. I know I throw a lot of numbers at you, but child abuse hotline for reporting child abuse is 800-342-3720. You don't have to know that something is happening. You just have to suspect that something is happening and a child's being harmed to report child abuse.
I just want to let people know that those numbers are on your website, right? So if people want to find them out, they can go to preventchildabuseny.org. We also have a link to your website on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. So that's a way to find out that information. In a non-COVID world, how would you normally be recognizing Child Abuse Prevention Month and your Awareness Day?
Yes. So we have been thrilled, and actually it's been great because even with the current crisis, a lot of folks are still responding. But every year around the state of New York and really around the nation, we have all kinds of partners. Last year we had over 200 community organizations that were supporting Prevent Child Abuse Month and really in various ways bringing people together, talking about strong families because this work is really about strengthening families, right? So in all of those communities across the state, all of our counties, we're celebrating through planting pinwheel gardens to recognize the hope that we see in childhood and bright futures for children. a number of different things happening legislatively to really both inform legislators, but then also as legislators are thinking about taking this information back to their communities and how do they want to help make decisions at a local level, that's an important thing that we've been really active with Prevent Child Abuse Month. We have traditionally had events at the Capitol with a variety of different folks who are elected officials taking part in recognizing this. So I think all the way down to local communities, all the way up through the top layers of state government, there's an acknowledgement that this is an important issue and that we can prevent child abuse. So many times we get caught up in those negative stories, but the reality is that we can prevent child abuse. And it's as simple as focusing on building supports for kids with families and in communities.
Let's just focus in on one thing that you just mentioned, and that is legislative priorities. What needs to be done legislatively? What do you believe needs to be done to help this problem?
So there is this underlying issue with child abuse, and I mentioned it earlier that child abuse really, in so many ways, is about the sort of environment that kids are experiencing. And that environment is very, very dependent on the strength of that family, right? So strong families protect children. And so when we build strong families, we create the sort of environment that reduces child abuse and neglect. So in New York State, the things that we have focused on have been really about what ingredients do communities need to really do what they can to support families. So we talk about things like economic stability and economic issues for families. And so really central key things are anything that promotes really opportunities for people in a workforce. If we've got families who are struggling for employment, that's a huge stress. So economic opportunities include things like making sure that we have paid family leave and that our paid family leave laws are strengthened. Ensuring that families have access to good health insurance is another way that we really make this something that's tangible. We also talk about a variety of other resources that are available in a community. So whether that's early childhood home visiting, good, high-quality child care services, if it's making sure that we have communities that are prioritizing things like recreation and good housing, all of those kind of things are critical. So priorities legislatively oftentimes for us focus around how do we build out the sort of environments at a community level that really encourage and help families thrive. When we kind of flip back to what do we need more of in terms of direct prevention work, we know that good programs that focus on building healthy relationship protect children enormously. So if we just think about it, most of the time, kids that are being abused, and oftentimes sexual abuse is high in this list, we're talking about kids that are vulnerable. And many times that vulnerability is kind of especially exposed around their access to strong networks, social networks, strong support emotionally. And so we know that when we can help put programs in place that really help those kids build social emotional supports, that's a good thing. What always goes with that is helping parents and the caregivers of those children build their relationship as well. So we want to work on both ends of that. There have been some great examples of ideas that have come to school districts and helping school districts do more of this work, helping child care programs do more of this work. We think those are two places where legislatively we can do more and be much more effective. So those are some examples of what we're working on.
Tim Hathaway is Executive Director of Prevent Child Abuse New York. You can find out more about the amazing work they do at PreventChildAbuseNY.org. PreventChildAbuseNY.org. And as noted, links will be posted along with this interview at WAMC.org/roundtable. WAMC.org/roundtable, or again, PreventChildAbuseNY.org. Tim Hathaway is Executive Director of Prevent Child Abuse New York. Tim, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you so much.
Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress.